Okay, let's get started. Let's talk about the assignments. Regina?
Nous commencer à nous parler de devoirs.
We'll have our second quiz. You'll be taking that after class today.
Nous parlons deuxième quiz. Nous n'apprenons ça après classe la matin.
And also, you should be keeping a journal of your reading from the texts.
Et puis nous supposons qu'un journal des textes que nous appelions.
And please don't forget, you'll be writing about a 5 to 7 page paper on something you've learned from church history.
Et pas oublier que nous devons écrire un papier de 5 à 7 pages de un bagage que nous apprenons de l'histoire de l'église là.
But that won't be due until sometime in April.
Ça, nous devons remettre ça dans le mois d'avril là.
Also, one announcement is on the 23rd of March, I'm going to be at a retreat and will not have access to the internet, so we'll have to miss one class.
Oui, on voulait faire nous connaître que 23 mars, maintenant on est en retraite, on n'a pas bien accès avec Internet et on a perdu juste ça.
Okay, so let's start by taking any questions from last week's material.
On a commencé par les questions réelles qu'on était à prendre sur le dernier moment.
Any questions?
Question? Une question et si nous pas voulu dire, nous pouvons aussi écrire dans chaque là.
Okay, if there are no questions, then let's start the class.
Ok, c'est pas une question, on a commencé classe.
So I'm going to start the PowerPoint. There we go.
Raise his hand.
How do
Daniel,
we had trouble forwarding the PowerPoint. How did we solve that?
you never shared with me what you did.
Oh, I
I know you
forgot.
got out of it the last time, and then we launched it again.
Maybe I just left it on this page here. I think that's what I did. All right. Let's see. So let's do a little bit of review. Last week we discussed the Council of Chalcedon.
Semaine dernière, on était discuté sur le conseil de Chalcédoine.
The last really important council, at least for our class.
C'est le dernier conseil qui était important pour classe noire.
And they established the church view of Christ, of Christology.
Il était établi vu que nous gagnions le Christ là, de Christologie.
And they established that Christ is fully human and fully divine.
Il était établi que Jésus c'est complètement humain et complètement divin.
And then we discuss Augustine.
Et nous avons parlé tout de Augustin.
Augustine is the most important figure in the early church in deciding what became of the Catholic Church.
Augustin, c'était un personnage qui est très important dans l'église là, qui était établi l'église catholique là.
The most influential theologian before Calvin.
Il était un théologien qui est très influentiel avant Calvin.
Augustine was influenced by his Manichae religion and his by his Neoplatonist philosophy.
Il était influencé par la religion lui, qui était manichée et avec l'autre théologie.
He thought of the physical body as evil.
Il était enseigné que être physique là était mauvais.
And that led to his most important theology, which is predestination.
été fait part de théologie qui était importante pour lui, qui était par prédestination.
He taught that we are completely depraved and totally unable to respond to God.
Il enseignait que nous dépravés et que nous pas capables de répondre avec, non pas assez en tant qu'être humain pour nous répondre avec bon Dieu.
We use the fancy word called monergism.
Il était utilisé un mot pour décrire ça, c'était monergisme.
That all of it is from God and none of it is from us.
Ce qui veut dire que toute bagaille sortie dans bon Dieu, pas rien, rien qui sortit de nous-mêmes.
And so, we don't have free will until after we're saved. And he taught original sin, which became the theological support for infant baptism. He also stressed the idea of Christendom. That the church is the city of God. And therefore, the government and the church should be in full cooperation. And the church, therefore, could tell the government to oppress other groups, such as the Donatists.
Que l'église là est capable du gouvernement puis oppresser l'autre groupe en tant que groupe, par exemple, Donatistes.
He also was very strong on the idea of sacrament.
Il était très fort sur l'idéologie du sacrement.
And also transubstantiation.
Avec transubstantiation.
So many more things that are important with Augustine. Now let me anticipate when we talk about the Reformation. When I talk about Martin Luther and Ulrich Zwingli. The theology of Zwingli and Luther will be that of Augustine.
Théologie Luther avec Zwingli, c'est théologie Augustin que on va utiliser.
Then we talked about Augustine's opponent. His name was Pelagius.
Et puis on a parlé de opponent Augustin qui était Pelagius.
Pelagius taught what we called synergism.
Il était parlé de ça qui était lié à synergisme.
That God's will works with our free will and we have some role in our salvation.
Que volonté bon Dieu travaille avec volonté par nous et que nous avons un rôle que nous jouons dans salut nous.
He taught something like perfectionism, that humans can become sinless.
Il était enseigné à la perfection que humain est capable de venir sans péché.
And he was declared a heretic by the church. The one who came after him was Julian of Ecclenum. He accused Augustine of teaching that God creates people to go to hell. Julian said that if Augustine is true, then God creates both good and evil.
Julian dit que si Augustin vrai dans théologie et que bon Dieu créé bien et mal.
And if Julian was right.
Si Julian était correct.
Because Augustine taught that if somebody goes to hell, that was God's decision.
Augustin était correct, et Augustin enseignait que l'homme allait dans l'enfer, c'est décision, bon Dieu.
That was God's predestination for them to go to hell.
C'était prédestiné à cette prédestination, bon Dieu, t'es déjà gagné pour mon sac, là, aller dans l'enfer.
And then we talked a little bit about asceticism.
Et puis, on a parlé un peu de ascétisme.
And the kinds, the monks and the nuns and the different things related to asceticism.
Tu parlais de moineau avec Sergio, avec les différentes choses qui étaient liées avec la pratique ça.
By the 5th and 6th century, the few members in the church were actually Christians.
Dans notre arrivée dans le 5e avec 6e siècle, on a gagné pas tellement un peu de monde dans l'église qui était chrétien.
So those who wanted to live the apostolic life left the church and went out into the desert. And they celebrated an extreme asceticism. And they taught that in order to be holy, you have to avoid almost all pleasure. The most popular of these was Anthony. He was a hermit. He went out into the desert. And hundreds and even thousands followed him out into the desert. In the 4th century, he was the great hero of the church. But each of these hermits had their own separate life. But eventually, they began to form monasteries. Okay. So the most famous of these was Benedict. He formed the Benedictine order of monks. Asceticism was a much bigger thing in the Eastern Church. Partly because of the influence of Pelagius. But Benedict made monasticism and asceticism popular in the West. And he created a rule of order for the monks. Around
500 AD.
He established a monastery in Italy. At Monte Cassino, in the mountains. So he established that monks not only pray, but they also work. And later on in the Middle Ages, the monasteries became the center of culture in Europe. Another very important monk was Patrick. You've probably heard of Patrick of Ireland. You've probably heard of St. Patrick's Day, yes? The story of the life of St. Patrick is so interesting. I wish I had time to talk about that.
Histoire de vie le vie Saint-Patrick très important. Ben, pas qu'il y a assez de temps pour t'as parlé non de ça.
But Patrick established monasticism in Ireland.
Il était établi monasticisme en Ireland. Ireland, c'est Irlande?
Ireland? Irlande?
C'est Irlande, non, c'est pas vrai?
Oui, Irlande.
Yeah,
oui, yes, around in the 5th century. And by the 6th or 7th century, Ireland was the most important area of the Catholic Church, believe it or not.
Environ 5e et 6e siècle, Irlande, c'était un gros centre de l'Église catholique là.
So let's talk about Christianity around 500 AD.
On a parlé de Christianité dans l'époque 500 AD.
This is the end of the primitive church and the beginning of what we call the Middle Ages.
C'était fin l'Église primitive avec ça que nous relions commencement au Moyen Âge.
There were four or possibly five major branches of Christianity. First, of course, was Western Christianity. This is the source of the Christianity that we're familiar with. The Roman Church, Roman Catholicism. The Roman Church was orthodox in its theology. The Catholic Church was more legalistic than the Eastern Church.
L'Église catholique était plus légaliste que l'Église qui était dans l'Est.
It stressed the crucifixion of Christ more than the incarnation of Christ. And the Western Church was more interested in salvation as a legal event than becoming like Christ. Now I'm sure you're aware that Rome fell in the 5th century. The western part of the Roman Empire completely collapsed. And many Germanic tribes came and destroyed the empire. There was political chaos throughout Western Europe. There was no central political power in Western Europe. But this became an opportunity for the Roman Church. The Roman Church filled the political vacuum. So the Roman Catholic Church became a strong political power. And in Western Christendom, the church was more powerful than the state. Next is Eastern Christianity.
prochain bagage que n'a parlé de lui, c'est l'église Esla.
We call it the Orthodox Church.
That's the Orthodox Church?
Yes.
You said?
Yeah.
C'est l'église orthodoxe, là?
The Roman Church was a Latin church, and the Orthodox Church was a Greek church.
L'église romaine, c'était l'église latin, et puis l'église qui était dans l'islam, c'était l'église orthodoxe.
The center of the Orthodox Church was in Byzantium, also known as Constantinople.
L'église orthodoxe dans l'islam, ça a été byzantin, ou bien le tout l'église Constantinople.
Today, it would be Istanbul in Turkey. When the Western Empire collapsed, the Eastern Empire continued for 1,000 years. The Eastern Empire didn't collapse until the 15th century. So, in the East, in the Orthodox Church, the government was more powerful than the church. So in the East, you didn't have a pope.
So na Esna, pas gen pap.
And the government tended to control the church.
Et gouvernement te gen kontrol de l'église la.
The Eastern Church was more spiritual than the Western Church.
L'église na Esna te plus spirituel que l'église na Westla.
The Eastern Church was more concerned with holiness and becoming Christ-like. They stressed holiness through worship. More than through sacrament. They emphasized a personal relationship with God more than salvation through the church.
Accentué sur salut à travers relation avec bon Dieu plus que et à travers sacrement de l'église.
I find myself more attracted to the Eastern Church than to the Western Church.
Moi, j'ai trouvé peut-être moins plus attiré sur l'église Est que l'église Ouest.
A third group was the Coptic Church. This was centered in Alexandria in Egypt. They were monophysite. So they believed in only one nature of God, which was his divine nature. They were more philosophical than the Greek or the Roman Church. And their language was Coptic Egyptian. They tended to not stress Christ's humanity. This became the church in Egypt and also Ethiopia. Another important church was known as the Church of the East. You can see on the map, the Church of the East spread all the way into China and Central Asia. This was the Nestorian Church. Its center of influence was in Antioch.
sorte d'influenceur c'était Antioch?
They were diphysite. It's on the screen. Diophysite.
Diophysite.
They stressed both the human and the humanity and the deity of Christ. They were declared heretics by the Orthodox Church.
L'Église orthodoxe a été déclarée hérétique.
And they strongly emphasized the human nature of Jesus and his suffering. And then a fifth group, one that we don't usually learn about, is the Jacobite Church. Like the church, the Coptic Church, they were also monophysite. But they spoke Syriac, the language Syriac. This was the form of Christianity that ended up in India. Even today, the Jacobite Church is powerful in India.
Jusqu'à présent, l'église Jacobite est très influentielle en Inde.
So now let's talk about the Middle Ages.
Quand on va parler du Moyen Âge.
We don't have a lot of time to talk about the Middle Ages.
On va avoir un peu de temps pour nous parler du Moyen Âge.
In volume 2 of my church history, I do an entire volume on the church in the Middle Ages. But we have to skip most of that material. We only have one class for talking about the Middle Ages. But I want to mention a few important persons and events. First is Leo. He was the Pope when the Roman Empire fell. And he oversaw the Council of Chalcedon. And he was the first one who had the arrogance to say all the church submits to Rome. Some people say he was the first pope. And he taught the dominance of Rome over the entire church. In the West, his vision became reality. When the Roman Empire fell. But in the East, they ignored Leo, mostly. Another important event was a council that occurred in Toledo, in Spain. At the end of the 6th century. They made a very, very small change to the Nicene Creed. In the Nicene Creed, it says that the Holy Spirit proceeds from the Father. They made one very small change. They added one word to the Nicene Creed.
un mot.
They added the word they added the word philoque.
Ils ont ajouté le mot philoque.
Which means and the sun.
Qui veut dire et petite là.
They said the Holy Spirit proceeds from the Father and from the Son.
Il dit que Saint-Esprit en sorti de papa et de petite là.
They did this because the Arian heresy was very powerful in Spain. The Goth peoples, the ones that conquered the Roman Empire, were actually not Orthodox Christians, they were Arian Christians.
I'm sorry, can you repeat that for me again, please?
Yeah.
Goth people?
Yeah, the Goths, the Ostrogoths and the Visigoths, the Goths who destroyed the Roman Empire.
Okay. And they were powerful where?
In France and Spain.
Group qui était, grand groupe qui les Goths, qui était détruit en Pyrénées, qui était très populaire en Espagne.
At this time, there was a sixth church that was very powerful. It was Arian. Remember Arius, the one who said there was a time when Jesus was not? They were pronounced heretics at the Council of Nicaea. Well, when Christianity was brought to the Gothic people, they became Arian. And when they added Philoque to the Nicene Creed, it was to oppose the Arian heresy. This very, very small change to the Nicene Creed became a weapon to destroy the Arian church. So eventually, the Roman Church adopted Philoque into the Nicene Creed.
Éventuellement, l'Église romaine a adopté Mosa Philoque pendant la pratique.
And by the 7th century, the Arian Church nearly disappeared.
Et là, nous arrivons au 7e siècle, et l'Église arienne était presque disparue.
But this raised a huge controversy with the Eastern Church. We will eventually see that the addition of this one word to the Nicene Creed caused the final separation between the Eastern and the Western Church. So I talk about Leo, I talk about Philoque, and now let's talk about Gregory. Gregory was a pope at the very end of the 6th century. He is known as Grégoire le Grand. John Calvin said he was the last really good pope. He was a very powerful pope, but also a great man in many ways. He was the greatest scholar of his time.
Yeah, un gros savant en entend parler.
He was the first pope to also have been a monk.
Et l'un des premiers popes qui était aussi un moine.
He was a very spiritual man.
Il était un homme très spirituel.
He made the Western Church a model for caring for the poor and the sick.
Il était fait l'église Western, un modèle à prendre soin du monde.
But it is, yeah. But it is ironic. There was a great, what do you call it? No food. A famine. A famine. Thank you. There was a great famine in Italy. And there was no political power to solve the problem. So Gregory used all of his power to take care of the poor and to feed the needy. He saved tens of thousands, maybe hundreds of thousands of lives. But in order to arrange to help solve the issue of the famine, he started a government. And the Roman Church began to control actual territory in Italy. And eventually, this became what we call the Papal States. So the Pope ruled an actual country. And the Pope had armies. It's interesting that Gregory did this in order to save the lives of thousands from famine.
C'est intéressant que nous, Grégoire, tu fais ça, tu as sauvé, un peu de monde, ça, qui t'a mouru dans la famine, là.
He had no intention of starting a government or creating a political power, but that's what happened.
Il n'a pas gagné aucune intention pour te créer un pouvoir politique, mais
Gregory equated Mary in John 12. With the sinful woman in John 8. And Mary Magdalene.
Avec Marie Magdalene.
So he said that Mary Magdalene was a prostitute.
Il dit que Marie Magdalene était une prostituée.
He made Mary a sinful woman.
Il fait Marie venir une femme qui péchait.
Now this was a mistake of interpreting the Bible.
C'était une erreur interprétation de la Bible.
But it was a part of a very terrible process.
Ça était une part d'un processus terrible.
In the Middle Ages, women became temptresses.
Temptresses?
That women were sinful.
Okay. Dans le Moyen Âge là, et vu que maintenant il y a des femmes, c'est que
And the source of evil.
It is source de tout mal.
And this became justification for a strong patriarchy.
Ça devenait une justification pour un patriarche qui était homme, offensé tout pouvoir d'achat.
And the Western Church supported the idea that women are the source of evil.
Et l'Église ouest-slave a supporté l'idée que femme est la source du mal.
What a sad development.
Ça, c'est un développement qui est très triste.
When Gregory said that Mary Magdalene was a sinful woman.
Et Mary Gregory dit que Marie Magdalene c'était une femme qui était péché.
Another very important development of Gregory is purgatory. You can't possibly exaggerate the importance of the doctrine of purgatory. This is the doctrine that the sins that we commit that are not forgiven are forgiven after we die. Because by this time, infant baptism had been in place for more than 200 years.
Parce que dans tant ça, et baptême enfant, déjà gain 200 ans en action.
And they taught that infant baptism only cures original sin.
Il était enseigné que baptême enfant est juste prend soin et péché originel.
By this time, the church had developed a system of penance to get forgiveness for sins that we commit.
Dans le temps ça, l'Église a développé un système de pénitence pour être capable trouver pardon pour péché que vous commettez.
But Gregory said that's not enough.
Mais Grégoire dit que c'est pas assez.
So when we die, we have sin that hasn't yet been forgiven.
Là, nous mourir, nous gagnons péché qui pas qu'un pardon.
So we go to purgatory.
So
and those left behind are responsible for helping us to escape from purgatory. So we would do a mass in order to free them from purgatory. Or we could even give money. We could give money to free them from purgatory. This became known as indulgences. And this became the dominant doctrine in the Western Church by the end of the Middle Ages. And it was this doctrine that Martin Luther eventually protested. It was with Gregory the Great that the Catholic Church became truly a dominant church in the West. Gregory declared that Constantinople is subject to the Pope. At this time, the Eastern Church was politically dominant over the Western Church. But Gregory declared that the Western Church was spiritually dominant over the Eastern Church. And if you're not under the Pope, then you're not even saved. He said concerning the Catholic Church, the Holy Catholic Church proclaims
catholique Saint-Lin proclamé
that God cannot be worshipped except within the Catholic Church.
Que pas capable et adorer bon Dieu en dehors de l'Église catholique.
And those outside the Catholic Church will not be saved.
Et monde qui en dehors de l'Église catholique là pas capable sauver.
And this is still the official doctrine of the Catholic Church today.
Et ça, c'est toujours doctrine officielle de l'Église catholique là jusqu'à présent.
If you're not Catholic, then you're not saved.
Sont pas catholiques ou pas sauvés.
Okay, the next important development, of course, was Islam.
Notre développement qui était important, c'était le développement islamique là.
In the early 7th century, Islam was established in Saudi Arabia.
Na commencement, 7th siècle, Islam a commencé à établir en Arabie.
Yeah. When Muhammad died in 632 AD, his armies already controlled most of Arabia. But within 100 years, it controlled all of Persia and much of the Byzantine Empire and Northern Africa.
So Persia, what else?
The Byzantine Empire.
Byzantine Empire, okay.
Not the whole empire, but much of the empire.
Okay. It pairs avec empire byzantin.
And much of the reason for the success of Islam was the weakness of Christianity. Because in the East, Christianity was divided. Between the Coptic Church, the Orthodox Church, the Jacobite Church, and the Nestorian Church. There was even wars being fought between Christians over theology. By this time, Christianity had become very superstitious. The Eastern Church used idols for worship. And corruption had entered the church. The bishop was usually the child of the earlier bishop. And the common people had no role whatsoever in worship or in the church. The church had become very corrupt. So Muhammad brought Islam. And he corrected many of the corruptions of Christianity. He removed idolatry. And he had a religion where the common people had a part in the religion. So part of the reason for the success of Islam was the corruption of Christianity. In Northern Africa, by the end of the 8th century, Christianity had nearly disappeared. But in Egypt and Iraq and in Palestine Christianity remained quite strong.
Mais en Égypte, en Irak et en Palestine, l'église chrétienne a toujours été forte.
There's been an estimate that in the year 1000 AD, there were roughly 20 million Christians in the West. About 25 million Christians in the West under Catholic rule. But there were also about 20 million Christians in Asia under Muslim rule. Most people don't realize this, but Christianity was still the dominant religion in most Muslim territories until 1000 AD. The worst thing that ever happened to Christianity in the East was the Crusades. When the Catholic Church tried to conquer the Holy Land. And then the dominant Muslim government began to attack the churches and destroy Christianity. But by the year 700
AD,
Christianity in the West was very, very bad. Very corrupt. There were things in the church such as simony.
What's simony?
The selling of church office.
Okay.
So people became bishops because they paid for the office. And being a bishop in the church was the opportunity to become very wealthy. Another problem was nepotism. That bishops would appoint their children to receive the bishop power. By around the 11th century, the church came up with a solution. They call it celibacy. So they said, from now on, the priests can no longer marry. Celibacy had been practiced by the monks for many hundreds of years by this time. But now the Western Church began to impose celibacy on all the priests. You may not realize this, but in the Orthodox Church, priests still get married. But in the West, priests were no longer allowed to be married. This led to even further corruption.
continuer avec plus, avec lié avec plus corruption.
Because many priests, rather than getting married,
parce qu'il y a un pile prêtre, au lieu que pour marier,
would take, what do you call that, where you have a, what's the word for it? A mistress. Yes, a mistress. Yes.
Yeah, un pile prêtre, au lieu que, parce qu'on est va se poser marier, il y a un cachet à payer.
And even homosexuality became an important aspect in the Western Church. In the West, the Church was so corrupt. It's really disgusting to even talk about. It's depressing to think about. But in our next session, we'll see that the Western Church began to reform itself. By the 11th and 12th century, the Western Church began to improve a lot. But it's time for us to take our break. And we need a rest. So we'll take questions at the beginning of the next session. We'll break for about 8 minutes. Okay.